Well, I don't know about you, but I love good music. Good music stirs the spirit, stirs the spirit. Thank the Lord for the good music here that we've heard over these last number of days that we've been with you. I do want to follow up on what happened at the end of the morning service. And I just want to talk to you a little bit, before I get into the message, about esteeming those that labor among you very highly for their work's sake. And I'm going to share some things that my church back home does for me and my family. And I don't know that anybody's told them to do this, but they do it. People do it. And these things you'll never hear out of Brother Bill or Marcia's mouth. They're not going to talk about these things. But when I preach out, and I preach out a number of times throughout the year in the churches, and when I speak to churches, I try to, sometime during my stay there, just remind them to esteem those that labor among them very highly in love for their work's sake. That's a Bible principle. We're not man followers, we're God followers. We want to make sure that Jesus Christ is the center of the church and that he receives all preeminence. But, and still, there are biblical things in this way. And so I want to give you some things regarding Bill, Marcia, and their family. Just some practical things. If you get a chance, remember their birthdays and their special days. And so in our church, we just put together a calendar of all the dates of anyone that is a widow or widower, of the anniversary that their mate passed away, and then their wedding anniversary, because those days are special to that individual. And Bill and Marcia have anniversary, and the kids, and they all have birthdays, and all of those things. And one way that you can esteem them highly is to remember those days, all right, in their lives. Another way that you can esteem them highly, particularly Pastor Bill on this front, is to communicate to him when a message touches your heart. So the Bible talks about, let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. One of the things that encourages me as I preach the word of God is when a member comes up to me and says, Pastor, that message was for me. God used that message in my life. And that encourages me to keep studying. And that encourages me to keep preaching and teaching the Word of God. Because sometimes as a preacher, you don't know if your messages are affecting anybody. That's the truth. And so when somebody's heart is touched by the Word of God, it is an encouragement to the preacher to continue on in what he's doing. Number three, write notes of encouragement. Write notes of encouragement. In my office, if you were to walk in my office at our church, you could come and sit behind my desk, and the drawer to my right, when you pull that drawer open, it has a file folder of about that much of encouragement notes. And when I get discouraged, because pastors get discouraged, missionaries get discouraged, you know what I do? I open that drawer, and I pull out some notes, and I find encouragement through them. One of the ways to keep a pastor and his wife encouraged is to communicate thanksgiving, appreciation, encouragement. These are practical things. Number four, let them know you are praying for them. I have an 84-year-old man in the church, in our church back home. His name is Harry Witham. Harry hasn't been able to be in church for the last 2 months because his back is in bad shape. He cannot get out of bed hardly. But when he is in church, very, very faithful. All the services, all the time. Every service without doubt. Before he left, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I know you have a lot of decisions this week. I know you have study. I know you have family. I'm praying that your time will be used rightly. And every service, Harry lets me know, I'm praying for you. And that means a lot to this preacher. This preacher needs a lot of prayer. And so, number five, when you don't understand Brother Bill's decisions, give him the benefit of the doubt. So in ministry, sometimes we all have to make decisions, and sometimes the people that I work with, and it's a large number of people that I work with back in the States, but they don't know every factor that I have to pray through in a decision. And therefore, I could make a decision that they don't understand. Okay? When that happens, give your preacher the benefit of the doubt and trust the Lord to work in his life and his leadership. Okay? Not all pastors are perfect, and none of us make right decisions all the time. I'm not saying that. I am saying one of the ways that you can esteem him very highly in love for his work's sake is to give the benefit of the doubt that you may not know everything that he has to deal with in his decision making. Okay? Number six, when he preaches hard, understand it's out of love. So I preach, you can probably tell in the time that I've been here, I preach with passion. I preach with great zeal, urgency. But if you would sit in the counseling room with me and deal with people and the troubles that I deal with, you would understand a little bit better why I preach the way that I do. Because I don't want people to have to go through the hurt and the heartache and the disasters that people go through. And so we preach, and sometimes we preach hard, and sometimes it hurts. But remember, it's out of love. It's out of love. When your preacher has to take a stand, one of the greatest encouragements is when a member comes up and says, "Preacher, I know that was a tough stand to take, but I want you to know I'm standing with you. I understand that. I understand why we're standing on that truth." All right? Give him and understand that he needs time away. Okay? Me and my wife, part of this trip is time away for us. And we have a little phrase at our church, especially I communicate with my staff, but with our church. If you don't come apart, you will come apart. Okay? Did you know that in the first six chapters of Mark, Jesus was with the multitude, multitudes, multitudes, people, 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 people all the time? But did you know that the Bible talks about him coming apart for a while? Every minister, if we're going to stay fresh, we need to come apart. Some pastors preach about never coming apart, and I don't think that's biblical. God came apart one day out of seven, and God rested, and God didn't need rest, but he sent a message to all of us that we do. Our bodies need it. Our souls need it. And so when your pastor gets away or comes apart, understand that God will use that for him to be fresh to you. And God will use that as a refreshing time, and he'll come back refreshed. And so pray for those times when they're able to get away, that they're times of refreshing. That's important. Here's another way that you can bless your preacher. Be at peace with each other. So my heart hurts the most when somebody at the church is at odds with somebody else. My heart rejoices when everybody's at peace with each other. So the way that you can bless your preacher is be at peace with one another.
Right.
Be at peace with one another. Learn their favorites. Learn their favorite snacks. Chico sticks. All right? Learn their favorite places to visit. Their favorite Bible character. Their favorite candy bar. Their favorite authors. Learn what pleases them. Learn to love them. Learn to be patient with them. Did you know that every preacher, no matter how long they've been in the ministry, is always learning, always making mistakes? And so learn these things. Minister to their children. And I know you do this. I know this church does this. But continue that. Take interest in their interests. Build them up. Get pizza for them. Or Joe likes chicken nuggets, I found out. And by the way, I don't get to see the boys all the time. But on this trip, having been a couple of years since we saw them, I see a lot of change and a lot of growing up. And I see them serving more in the church and helping mom and dad. And that's a blessing.
Yes, sir.
You know, you can have pastor's kids or preacher's kids that are a mess, rebellious, and don't want to serve anybody, and unthankful. And so I thank the Lord for WT and Joe.
Amen.
And I just want to say those things. And then this is maybe the greatest way that you can love them. Hebrews 13:7 talks about whose faith follow.
That's right.
In other words, God puts leaders over us, but the greatest blessing we can be to them is whose faith follow. The greatest blessing my kids can be to me is if they follow my faith.
Amen.
If they follow my Jesus.
Mm.
That's the greatest blessing. And so I want to share those words of encouragement to you. I know that you already do many of these things, and I know that you love each other, and that's a blessing. You can sense that. Listen, people from the outside can sense that. We had a man walk in our church not too long ago. He was a visitor. We met him out door knocking. He came. I went out to visit him. He said, "Pastor, strange thing." He said, "I've never been in a place where I sense such peace. I sense such calmness in your church." That same day, he believed on Christ in his home. And it was the testimony of the church and the Word of God that God used in his life. And so when your spirit is right here and people come in from the outside, they know this is different. There's something different here. When you smile and there's a joy of the Lord, when you sing from your heart, people know it's a testimony to others. And so I want to say those things to you today. I want to speak to you for a few minutes that we have left today on why the church still matters. Why the church still matters. What really matters today? What really matters? I would argue that people matter today. All people. All people are valuable to God because God created all people. Every color, every culture, every country, all people are valuable. By the way, even though I disagree strongly with the transgender culture and the homosexual culture, if I get to talk to those people, I tell them they're valuable to God. Because God created them. And because God created them, they're valuable to me. Now, they're not following Scripture. They're not following the truth of Scripture. But the fact that God created them means that they have value. All people have value. What else matters? I would argue today that the King James Bible still matters. I would argue it's the guide for all living. I would argue that it is the ultimate authority for our faith and our practice. If God says it, that settles it.
Right.
Whether or not I believe it, it settles it. The King James Bible, I'm so thankful that we have the preserved Word of God. I would argue today that the person and work of Jesus Christ still matters. It matters in every life. It is our message in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Thank God that the person and work of Jesus Christ still matters. But on your seventh anniversary as a church, I want to look at in depth today why the church still matters. Is the local church just a sidelight in God's plan for the ages? Is it to be in the background where other things are to be more important and more visible? Is the local church a small thing in a big world? Or is the church the centerpiece of God's attention in the New Testament age? Is the local church just a give or take convenience in your life? Or is it something that you build your family and your life around, the local church? Should the church change what it believes and how it functions according to the culture of what people like today? Or are there timeless truths that the church should hold fast to? Is the church something that needs to change because of the great needs of the day? Should we change our message to a social gospel? Or does the church still need the pure gospel of Jesus Christ?
At the core of all the world's problems, is it government that's going to fix it all? Is it social reform that's going to fix it all? Is it money into the education systems that's going to fix it all? Or is it the gospel of Jesus Christ? I would argue that the message of the church still matters today because it addresses all the problems in our world. Is the church just a genie for the Christian to run to in times of trouble to find help? Or is God's plan for the believer to be fully committed to a Bible-believing church? Can a Christian flirt with the church, but at the same time keep his distance from it, from becoming a real disciple of Jesus Christ? Or does being a follower of Christ require a biblical understanding of the local church and a believer planting his feet and his family and his fortune in the church? Is the church a cheap organization created by man, or a costly organism paid for by Christ? You see, I want you to see today that first, the church is important to Jesus. In your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. The church was not man's design. It wasn't some church father in church history that came up with the idea of the church. It was God's idea. It is God's design. Today, people are trying to cheapen that design. Today, people are trying to change that design. But that design has the price that Christ paid for it attached to it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, we understand it's dealing with the subject of marriage in this context of Ephesians 5, but it gives us the standard of love for a husband with his wife according to Christ's love for the church. And what was his love for the church? He gave himself for it. What is the church, preacher? It is an assembly. It is in a local assembly of baptized believers who gather together to worship the Lord, to study the doctrine or the teachings of the scriptures, who gather together to evangelize the lost and to make disciples through the Great Commission, the local church. When it comes to the church, remember, it was God's design. He had a design for government, didn't he? God did. They're to what? Punish evil, and they're to protect good. We know that from Romans chapter 13. He has a design for the home, doesn't he? And it has structure built into it in Scripture. There's a head of the home, and there's a responsibility of a mother and a wife, and responsibility of the father and husband, responsibilities of the children, and their goal is to paint a picture and bring glory to God in each one of their lives and as a family, to paint the right picture of who Christ is. The church can only function right and continue when it is functioning with God's design. Now, what is God's design for the church? Because it still matters. Number one, the church is a body in function. It is a body in function. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." There are conditions to be part of the body. Folks, may I remind you today, this is not a club. It's not just anybody and everybody that comes in can join the body if they want. The body has conditions to be part of the body. Now, we welcome all visitors, don't we? Thank God for visitors, and we're working with lost people, and you're witnessing, and you're inviting, and obviously as a church we want to reach out. But when it comes to the body, the church functioning as a body, there are conditions To be part of the church, it requires salvation. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2. In other words, to be part of this called out local assembly, you have to be a baptized believer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them," that's the church, "that are what?
Sanctified."
Sanctified, talking about positional sanctification there, that they've been set apart in salvation. They're sanctified in Christ Jesus. When you got saved, you were set apart from this world. You were called out of this world to be set apart unto the Lord Jesus. The body has conditions. The condition is that you're saved, sanctified, set apart unto the Lord. That's vital that you understand that. Boy, if we let somebody into the body as membership, and they're not saved and sanctified, set apart unto the Lord, it's hard to be united when you're not all in the same family. But you understand that God's design on the body was that each believer, they come to Christ in salvation, and then they form a body, a family in the local church. And they're all saved by the blood of Jesus. They're all on the same at the same level of the cross. Where they found forgiveness of sins. That's a beautiful picture. The condition is that it requires salvation. And it requires water baptism. Water baptism. One baptism in Scripture. One faith, one baptism. Your theme verse. And that is water baptism. Right. Baptism is not required to go to heaven. But it is required to be a member of a Bible-believing church.
Right.
And so they were saved. They gladly received the word in Acts chapter 2. And they were baptized. And then they were added to the church. So we don't add people to the church that aren't willing to publicly identify with Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. And say publicly, you know what? I belong to Jesus. I'm identifying with His death, burial, and resurrection. Inside, in my heart, I've been raised to walk in a new path of life, a newness of life. That is required to be part of the body. All right? That's the biblical pattern. And so being part of the local church requires having the Spirit of God. In your text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go back there. For the Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit." Do you understand the precious unity that we have in the sense that we've all been saved? We're grafted into God's family. All right? We've all been baptized. All right? We've all made the same decision to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And we all have the same Spirit within us. You know what? That provides a basis of unity. Whereas if you are loose and anybody can come and become a member, not going to have unity. That's why it's important before you baptize that there's somebody screening those that are getting baptized to make sure that they have a genuine biblical testimony of salvation. So that all the way along that we know as much as we can discern that they're saved, they're following the Lord and believers baptized, that's a sign of new life. And they have the Holy Spirit. All right? The body. And God creates the body. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body." The body, the universal church that you can't see. No. The local church.
That's right. Amen.
God sets the members. Bobby is not in this church by accident.
Amen.
Nobody is.
Right.
You are here as a divine leadership of God to be in this church.
Amen.
As members that are committed. And you know what? The great thing is, it pleases God.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
When Tess showed up, I'm here! And she became a member of the body. It pleased the Lord.
Amen.
It pleased the Lord. When Lot and Bondi, who came about the same time, I believe, came here, and they decided to be members, it pleased the Lord. God's pleased when we make the commitment of membership and we commit ourselves to the body.
Amen.
Right. And I think one of the great things as a Christian is when we have the assurance from the Bible that we have pleased God. That's a wonderful thing. And so this is precious because God continues to what? Set members.
Amen. That's
set
right.
Members in the body. He creates it. He's the one that created the body. Preacher, do you set the members in the body? Oh, no. Oh, no, that's not my job. I don't want to take that from God's hands. God does that. I take it very serious as one of its members at Mount Zion Baptist Church. It would take something very, very serious to remove me as a member of the body that God set me in. It would take sin or compromise. It would take something very serious to remove me from the body. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24. I know it's afternoon. I'm not going to keep you much longer, but I want to finish out this thought. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. The word tempered has the idea of blending together. You know what that means? Brother Bill needs the other members.
That's right.
And you need Brother Bill. Or you need Miss Marcia. You need each other.
Yep.
Okay? Now, God knows that. That's why He tempered it together.
Amen.
Okay? God's a mastermind. All right? He knew what you would need in life. He knew you would need a local church. And He knew in that local church that He knows how to bring the blend together. Mm-hmm. So in my church, I'm not handy at all. I take a hammer and I can't even hit a nail. I hit this nail. But I'm not good. I'm not good with building. All right? I don't know any of that stuff. You ask me to do that stuff, ask my wife. She doesn't ask me. At home, don't fix it. Go get somebody to fix it. You know why? Because if I try to fix it, I'm going to break it and make it worse.
That's right.
But did you know that God put me in a church where there's a bunch of men? Like 15 to 20 of them. And they all know how to use their hands. They can build anything. They can fix anything. You know what? I meet with them about our facilities. And they go like this. Pastor, I'll take care of that.
Amen.
Pastor, I'll take care of that. You know what God did when He put me there? He said, dumb pastor. Don't know how to do anything with his hands. I need to put him someplace there's guys with hands. And He did.
Amen.
He tempered us.
Yes, He did.
And you know what? He's tempered you.
Amen.
The body. You have an important part. There's no member of the body that is expendable in the sense that you have no value or part or function here.
That's right.
Every member of the body is very, very important.
Amen. Right.
And you have a function. You say, well, preacher, I don't feel like I do much. You know what? Sometimes it's your presence alone that tempers together and helps somebody.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a smile. Sometimes it's an encouraging word. Sometimes it's a text. Sometimes it's a special music song. Sometimes it's cleaning up.
Yeah.
Right? But what does God do? He tempers us together. This church. I started the message by saying the church still matters. I want to change the phrase as we end today. As this church still matters. It still matters to Jesus.
Yes, it does.
He died for it. It still matters to God. He's still adding to it. He's setting members in the body. It still matters to God. He's still blending together. He's still blending together people. He's tempering it. All right? And so, that being said, don't be a church hopper. Don't be somebody that's always looking for better somewhere else. All churches have problems.
Yeah.
Because all churches have people. The minute I stepped into our church, they got problems. Because I'm a people. I'm a person. I bring problems.
Yeah.
So, well, I think it's going to be better over here because there's trouble in my church. You know what? All churches go through trouble.
Hello.
All churches go through trouble. My church goes through trouble. All right? And so, value your church.
Amen. That's right.
Realize today it pleased Him to put you here. I'm so thankful for this church. Don't let Satan divide it. Don't let Satan get in your spirit. Go to the Lord if your spirit is troubled. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, it's probably not somebody else that's the problem. Lord, it's probably my spirit. Help my spirit. Care for one another. That's part of the body. Take care of each other. Back each other up. Support each other in hard times. Give. Be willing to sacrifice for one another. Be dependent on each other. For this church still matters. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for simple truths, Lord, nothing real, real deep today. But Lord, the fear of the Lord. Lord, it's a right path that keeps us from all the wrong paths. Lord, may we take that good truth with us. May, Lord, we walk in the fear of the Lord and receive instruction. Lord, be humble and depart from evil, all those things that we learned, Lord. The gospel, I pray that those that were here, Lord, if there's strongholds that's keeping them from being saved, Lord, I pray even before this night is over, I pray for conviction by the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that someone would genuinely be saved. And then, Lord, the church, thank you for this church. Thank you for their kindness to us while we're here, their kind words, their friendliness, their hospitality. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to set members in the body, that you grow it. Lord, I pray that they will treasure one another and love one another. I pray, Lord, that they will see the value that they have individually here. And I pray your blessing and protection upon your church. In Jesus' name.